Take your Bible and go to John 15. And if you are a man and you have a driver's license, I want you to stand right now. All right? All the men got a driver's license. All right? Good. Now, if you're a man and they've taken your driver's license away from you, you can stand too. All right? All right? Good. Amen. Good. Now, you just remain standing. Some of those are senior adults they've taken away from. Some are just young men that have had their driver's license taken away from them. Seriously, that are in our ministry, couldn't get a license. Now, men, three times this summer, we're having rallies just for you. This Thursday night's the first one. I'm speaking. We'll have some great music. Next month, my good friend Rich Wingo, played for the Green Bay Packers, going to come, and he will share a story that will absolutely thrill your soul. I got a bluegrass band coming in July and going to be with us. We'll have a picking, grinning good time. And then the third time, we'll probably have to come in here. We're going to meet in Passmore Hall. But the third one is in Pat Williams. He's coming. And I want you to invite every man you can find to hear Pat Williams, one of the most dynamic motivators of men you'll ever hear in your life. Executive leader and president of the NBA Orlando Magic, prolific author, dynamic Christian, father of 18. Half of those are adopted. But I mean, he and his wife got 10 children. So you ought to be here just to meet him. Amen. That's a man's man right there, all right? So you'll want to come. This Thursday night, I'm starting at 7:30. You can have dinner, still get here. And we'll have a great time, 7:30, and we'll worship, read the Word, and I'm going to be dealing with wicked habits. Amen. I just cut the crowd down. But you join me. Now, this morning, we're in John's Gospel, chapter 15, and we've been in this chapter all month long, and we are in Summer Fruit, the thematic title of 9 sermons this summer out of our 13 weeks. We are in week 4, and we have some special guests, as we had last Sunday, that will be preaching for us 3 or 4 times. But I am in this series on fruit in the Word of God. And so we come this morning to see the third. We first saw the vine, that is Jesus. We saw the vine dresser, that is the Father. And this morning we come to see the true branches as us. Followers, disciples. Jesus is the vine. The Father dresses the vine. And the power of the Holy Spirit coming through Jesus into us produces a fruitfulness if we are abiding in Him. John 15, we began reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read through verse number 11. Now, men, you read out loud with me. You'll see these verses up on the screen, and so you read these 11 verses as everyone else follows along. John 15, beginning in verse number 1 and reading through verse 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Father, I ask now that you would speak to us, teach us, and God save people this day, and teach us to abide in you this day. Holy Spirit of God, eclipse me, and let us hear from you today, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Be seated. I'll see you Thursday night at 7:30. The branches. The vine expresses himself, that is Jesus, expresses his life in the branches. He longs to see himself reproduced in us as individuals and in the church as a corporate body. Jesus in us. Now we as the branches exist only and entirely for the sake of the fruit. Branches don't eat fruit. You don't exist to consume the fruit. You exist to display the fruit. Can I get a witness? You know, we got a lot of folks, they just want to be fruit consumers, not fruit producers. Some folks just want to be fruit inspectors. They look at everybody else except themselves. Amen? But we are to produce fruit. Our job is to make glad the heart of the husbandman. And making the Father glad is our only object. It is where we find our only safety. And it is to be our only glory. That is to make glad the heart of God as he sees his Son reproduced in us. The branches tied to the vine. I've been talking to you the last several weeks about my little lemon tree. And I was doing some yard work yesterday and she's doing real well. I noticed more fruit. Found it down in the bottom, close to the ground. They're about almost as large as a small egg. Those lemons are starting to grow. When I gather them up, I'm going to bring them in a bucket right here to church. If they make it. You never know. This guy that cuts my grass, sometimes he gets too close to things. Fruitfulness. Now this morning, I want you to understand that in these 11 verses that we've read, 11 times in these 11 verses, there is word is used. 11 times. It is the word minnow. M-E-N-O. Now, not like a minnow that you fish with. It's a different word. M-E-N-O. It means to abide. It means to live in. Now, some of you that have the gift of teaching, you're already starting to count. And you say, 1, 2, 3. Well, it's not in there. You won't find the word abide 11 times, but you find the word minnow 11 times. Sometimes it's translated continue. Sometimes it is stay. But we find it, abide, that word 11 times in this text. And so this morning, I want you to think with me about abiding, about branches abiding in the vine. Now, how do we abide? How do we do that? It's a great question. Now, in this first service, I share this with you from time. This is generally the older generation of our church. Generally, a younger generation will come in the second service. Now, there are exceptions to that all over the room, but in general ways. Now, watch this. If you are a long-time follower of Jesus. This happens somewhere in your life if you're not in the middle of it right now. Somewhere along the line, as an adult, you've been serving the Lord 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 years. And all of a sudden, it has become mundane to follow him. You don't quit, but it's just perfunctory. not a lot of joy. There's not a lot of expectation. You're weary. I'll tell you what's happened. You have gone as far in the flesh as you can go. And you must transfer to this new spiritual, mystical union of abiding if you're going to go on in joy. That happens to everybody. You get saved and you're pumped and you're running, you're in the Word and you're reading every day, and man, you're going. And then all of a sudden, you just think, is there more? There is. It's called joy in the Holy Ghost. It's what the choir was singing in the opening number today. It's the fullness that causes you to rise to fruitfulness that you've never known before. You see, for a while in our strength, we can work. And I'm not telling you not to work. But after a while, you'll get weary. And I'm telling you, there is a labor that only God does in us that we can't do that brings the greatest fruit and the greatest depth of joy that you need in your life. And it's His labor, not yours. There is a labor for us to do, but there is a laboring that only He can do in us when we just abide in Him. Now, how do we abide? That's the question this morning. I want to show you four qualifiers for abiding in the vine as a branch. I've laid them out here for you. The first one's found in John 8:31-32. Listen to this. To abide, one must first believe. Believe. John 8:31-32. The Bible says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, if you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. Now, I don't know. Who's on the screen up there this morning? Have y'all got this stuff, Alan?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, Sharon normally is there, okay? And she knows me better than I know myself. And I can just kind of look funny and it'll come up there. So that outline needs to come on that screen for me, all right? So people, and if it doesn't come, don't worry. You'll just have to do church the old-fashioned way today. Do you know you can, there it is, you can have church without screens. It's doable. In about 90% of the kingdom this morning, it's doable, all right? All right, good. But I just like it to be there because we got it for you, all right? Good. To abide, one must believe. John 8:31-32. If you continue, there's that word minnow. If you continue, if you abide in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. To abide, you must believe. What have you got to believe? Well, number one, you got to believe in Jesus. He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word became what? Flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Number one, you must believe in Jesus. Secondly, you must believe in the Bible. If you're going to abide, you must believe the Word of God. The Word of God stands forever. Isaiah 40:8. It will not return empty. That the Word goes out to do, it always does, and does not come back void or empty. Isaiah 55:11. You've got to believe this book. The state of New York doesn't believe this book. Governor Cuomo doesn't believe this book. If he did, he wouldn't have signed law. He'd have called for veto. But you understand, there is a move to say that it's okay for a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman. Well, I'm just understanding, friend. Some people say, well, why are you not for that? Because this book is against it. But I want you to understand something else. The Word of God says that a man ought not live with a woman until he's married, and he's against that too. See, if you're going to abide, you got to live in the book. You got to believe, trust, be a part. I'm going to have to write another article about it. Our good friends over at Bible Baptist Institute, always preaching on the street corner. Yesterday was one of their preaching days, and I got email. And people just, I mean, a guy got on me hard. He said, why are your members out in front of your church screaming at cars? And he said, this may not be. If I got the wrong person, forgive me. And then he just went on, man, and he just lit him up. He said, where's the love? So I said, well, number one, I want you to know the people that preach on the street corners are not members of our church. They are members. And I told him where it was and the pastor was. And then I said, is the closer I get to 60, the meaner I get. I just can't help myself. This gentleman who wrote me the email said, I am a Christian and a rather decent son of the Father. So I quoted his word. I said, well, since you are a decent son of the Father, today is the 25th day of the month of June. We are almost 6 months into the year. I want to ask you, how many people have you shared the gospel with this year? I said, I don't like the way you do it, but I like the way they do it rather than the way you don't do it. I differ with their methodology, but I like their passion. I do. I'm sure they're out there. I've never met anybody that got saved when they were preached to with the air conditioner running and the windows rolled up. But I'm just telling you, I'm not throwing stones and I'm not asking them to move off the corner. Because this book says every man without Christ is lost, and we are to go and tell the gospel. We are to believe. And friend, you'll never abide until you believe this word and until you believe in his son. Secondly, though, there's a second thing about abiding, and that is in John's Gospel chapter 6. Just turn on back a few more pages. In John's Gospel chapter 6, to abide one must die. Oh my. Now this is a little different verse. John 6 and verse 56, the Bible says, Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. There it is. Now grab you some of that. He's talking about I'm the bread of life in this long the sixth chapter, but he says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. So if you're going to abide, you must eat his flesh and drink his blood. What in the world does that mean? Well, our Catholic friends believe that that's transubstantiation, that when you take the wafer and you take the wine, you've literally taken the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't believe that as Baptists. We do not believe in a transubstantiation. We don't believe that the bread and the juice literally turn to the body of Christ. That's where they come from this text. Well, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you, when you drink the blood of the Lord Jesus, what he's speaking of here is death. Friend, you'll never abide till you die. I don't mean die physically, I mean die spiritually. That you must die to yourself. Now, notice up in verse number 60, if you've still got your Bible open, in verse number 60, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, when they heard about eating his body and flesh and drinking his blood, they said, this is a difficult statement. Well, what's new? Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. That's what he's talking about. And you'll never have spiritual life until you have your own carnal, fleshly death. You'll never abide in Christ and be fruitful till you die to who you are and your own agenda and your own timetable and what you want. You die to that. You lay it down. You come to the place of Galatians 2:20 that you're crucified with Christ. You're dead to you and alive only to him. That's what it means to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Only then will you ever abide in the vine. Number one, you got to believe. Number two, to abide, you must die. Difficult? Oh, yes, sir. Number three, to abide, one must obey. Now leave the Gospel of John and go to the Epistle of 1 John, way over in the back of your Bible, all right? It's Vacation Bible School. Go to 1 John. 1 John. If you want to know where the books of the Bible are, you can go right up here. Didn't I see Brother Clyde Parazine sitting right up here? He'll teach you a song where you can learn every book in the Bible and where they are. learned it many years ago. Sings it to me from time to time. 1 John 3 and verse 24. The Bible says, the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and we, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given. To abide, we must believe. To abide, we must die. To abide, we must obey. Obey. That's what he says in verse 24. The one who keeps his commandments abides, meno, in him. If you're saved today, just raise your hand and say amen. How many of you say? That's me. Now, if you've been saved, have you been baptized since you've been saved? Well, the first commandments, after you've been saved, you ought to be baptized. Boys and girls that trusted Jesus in Bible school, you ought to be baptized. That's why we've started doing that on Friday in Vacation Bible School. Parents say it's okay. Others wouldn't wait till their granddad or grandmother gets here. I want to ask you today, have you believed, but then have you obeyed? Are you walking in obedience? Been baptized? Are you forgiving? Anybody in your heart that you hate? Now, let me tell you, if there's anybody in your heart you hate, you're not abiding, because God tells us to forgive one another. Anybody having a hard time loving? Now, cats don't count. Amen. I met one of our men on the way out here. This said to me this. He said, "My cat's been gone 3 days." I said, "You have been blessed and are highly favored." My wife's out of town. That's why she's not in the choir. She'll be back tonight. I took our cat to the vet this week. First time I've ever done that in my life. In Jesus' name, it's the last time I'll ever do it. Yeah. I post on Facebook, if a man takes his wife's cat to the veterinarian, he ought to get combat pay. I'm just telling you, he ought to get it. The combat's putting them in that little box that you have to take them in. And I am just, you know, I got Neosporin all over me. I'm here to tell you, some people are harder to love than a cat that you're trying to put in a carrier. They don't have anything to do with it. What I'm telling you, friend, just because they oppose you does not mean you're not loving to them. Forgive one, love one another. To abide, one must obey. Obey. Amen. One must believe, one must die, one must obey. But then in 1 John, you leave chapter 3 and verse 24, and on the same page probably in your Bible, in chapter 4 and verse 15 of 1 John, to abide one must confess. Confess. 1 John 4 and verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Now hear me, those of you that sit in the balcony, let me talk to you for just a moment today. Have you ever confessed Jesus as Lord right here? Are you confessing him? You've got to go public. Have you ever confessed him in the privacy of your home? You go in public. Have you ever confessed him in the public declaration of the baptistry? Dear friend, you'll never abide until you confess him as Lord. And in just a moment, Leo's going to come back and sing. And I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to ask some of you in that balcony, to get up out of your seat, walk to the side, down an aisle, come and take my hand and say, "Pastor, I've come to confess him today. I'm ready to abide. I want to confess Jesus as my Lord. I want to join this church. I want to go public with baptism across this ground floor." How about you today? Have you confessed him? Do you say, "Jesus is Lord"? Amen. Let's just say that all together. It'd do us real well. Jesus, what? Jesus is Lord. He is. I'm here to tell you, friend, no, he is. And he's not Lord because you confessed him. You confess him because he is Lord. As many as confess him that Jesus is the Son of God, he abides
in him. I encourage you, go public. Go public today with your confession that Jesus is Lord. I said, preacher, it's kind of scary to go public. Well, it is. But we'll help you. We'll help you. And I stood right here and gave the invitation. Over 50 kids came on Thursday. I told my story. Here's what I said to them. I said, boys and girls, I'm sitting seven rows back. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Right there on that end row. Brother Nolan gave that invitation. One of our members from Pisgah Church is here today. And I stepped out and I came when we was over in the old church. Knelt down at an altar. Said, Lord, come into my heart and forgive me. As a 10-year-old boy, I didn't know how to do that, but my pastor had helped me. And I said, yes. And the next Sunday, they baptized me. I want to ask you, friend, have you ever confessed him as the Son of God? Have you ever said, Jesus, be Lord? If not, I'm asking you in just a few minutes, I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to come right here and say, I've come today, Pastor, to confess it. To confess it. Branches do one thing. Branches abide in the vine. But now there's a second thing I want you to see, and it's on your listening outline there today. Not only do branches abide. True branches abide in the vine. I want you to see that true branches, they also bear fruit. There's fruit that comes through the branch. Now, what kind of fruit? I just want to give you this very quickly. There are three kinds of fruit I want you to see. Number one is the fruit of answered prayer. Back in John 15 and verse number 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Preacher, how do I know if I'm abiding? Because God's answering prayer. Does he answer them all the same way every time? No. Does he say yes every time? No. Well, let me tell you, friend, when over the seasons of your life, when you're abiding in him, he's answering prayer. One of our good deacons this morning, Pastor, you say that if we have some bad deacons, well, I'd be up to them. But one of our good men said to me this morning, Pastor, thank you for praying with me. God sold our house this week. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I know for one reason. That is because we prayed and asked God to do it. Is God answering prayer in your life? I tell you, you got to learn to abide. And when you learn to abide, one of the first kinds of fruit that comes answered prayer. The reason some of us are not knowing answered prayer is because we don't pray. Because to abide means you pray, and some of us don't even take time. You can't do anything more important than pray. Nothing. Just to spend time with him. Answered prayer. Number two, verse 9 says that the branches not only bear the fruit of answered prayer, they bear the fruit of love. We've talked about that for just a moment. But he said, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. That there is a love that is there. I read this to you not long ago, but hear it again. Over in 1 Corinthians 13, what is love? Here it is. Love is patient, kind, not jealous. Does not brag, is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. You ever act unbecomingly? My mother used to tell me I did that. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. For it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love. It'll never fail. What does God produce in your life? God will produce the fruit of answered prayer. He'll produce the fruit of 1 Corinthians love. But there's a third thing. And that is the fruit of joy. Leo was singing about it this morning. The fruit of joy. Verse 11. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. And of course we ask again, what is joy? It's not happiness. Jesus had joy.
Hebrews 12 tells us, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. His joy is that of giving himself away. And let me tell you, the deepest joy you'll ever have is when you give yourself away, not when you receive from others. Joy comes in the giving away of your life. I got an electronic message last night from a dear friend in Texas. His father, who is very close to me, a deacon in the first church I pastored out of seminary. The wealthiest men I've ever met. The most giving men I've ever met. He said, Daddy's just days away from the other side, Pastor. So I picked up the phone. I called his mom. And we had a great conversation. This gentleman's a banker. I'll never forget going to his office first time I ever tried to borrow any money. Need a new vehicle. And so we got ready to buy the Miss Ivy, it's the vehicle that you shamed me into trading when I moved here. It's Michael sitting back there today. She used to get on me about that Suburban we had. But Liz drove it, and I bought that car, and I went in to see Brother Bill. I said, I need to borrow some money. He said, well, Pastor, the first thing a banker learns are the three P's. I said, yeah. He said, never loan money to a painter, a plumber, or a preacher. I said, well, are there any exceptions to the rule? He said, I might do it for you. And we borrowed the money to buy that first vehicle. Man, I love him. Not everybody loved him. He's a hard man in many ways. You have to be in finance. But when I got to know him, and I got around behind the other side of the desk, see, he wasn't just the president of the bank, he's the owner of the bank. There is a difference. I found one of the most giving men I've ever met in my life. He's given away thousands. There's no telling how many kids he's put through university. I've run into him everywhere I go. They say, well, you know, do you know Mr.? And they call him and say, yeah, well, he paid my tuition. We have young men call our church. They get to seminary and they walk up to the deal and they say, I'm ready to pay. They say, well, your deal's already been paid. Where does joy come? I'm telling you, his joy came from giving his life away. It started with his money, but I'm telling you, it's the easiest thing you'll do. Then you give your life away to others. Joy. What great fruit. The joy of giving away. Amen. Now, I got to ask you something this morning. And I want you to listen. Now, this is going to shock you. Because you've never heard this. I want to ask you two questions. I'm going to teach you why some of us are not abiding. Do you believe that God loves you? I mean, you can't read this book not know that, can you? Question number two. Do you believe God likes you? There's one honest kid. I dare say most Baptists I meet believes God loves them but doesn't like them. I want you to understand today, until you come to grips that God likes you, you'll never be an abider or a fruit bearer. Got your Bible open, John 15? Prove it to you. We read down through verse number 11, but look at verse 12. This won't come up on the screen unless they are really good up there this morning. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love. You believe God loves you? Yes, sir. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his what? his friends. Jesus is still speaking, and he said, "You are my friends if you do what I commanded you." Verse 15, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends." I don't know about you, but I like my friends. And if you're going to be a friend to Jesus, he likes you. And you like him. Now watch this. We've got this mindset. Well, God so loved the world that he gave his... Amen. He loves me in spite of myself. And he loves me even when I don't love him. And he loves me when I'm... Amen. But I want you to know, friend, he likes you. And he wants you to abide with him. You'll only abide with him when he becomes not only your Savior, your Lord, but your friend. See, we're friends. You spend time with friends. You talk to friends. You trust friends. So when you leave here in a minute, if he's your friend, you're talking to him while you go get in the car. That's why this book says pray without ceasing. You talk to him when you're cutting grass. I guarantee you in Jesus' name, if you take your wife's cat to the vet, you'll talk to him. Amen. Do you understand what I'm getting at? And see, when you begin your morning, you open up this book and you talk to your friend. Your friend talks to you. And if you want to move into that spirit-initiated abiding that brings great joy after you've served in 25 or 30 years in the power of the flesh, get you a journal. Start writing to the Lord. I challenge you to do it. Just get you a page and begin to write what you're thinking out to Jesus. Write your friend a letter. He's written one to you. Write one on Monday and then on Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, I won't be dead honest with you. A lot of people tell me, "Oh, Pastor, I do that in the evening." I've never met a great leader of Christendom who had their quiet time at the end of the day. Not saying they didn't pray at the end of the day. I'm just telling you, every great leader that I've ever met in kingdom work started their day with this book and some time. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'd have to get up early." Well, hello. You may have to go to bed a little earlier. He doesn't just love you. He likes you. So, Pastor, think about me. Do you like everything about your friends? Well, if I'm one of them, you don't. See, him liking you has nothing to do with your performance. He likes you because he gave his life for you. And he desires to spend time with you. I mean, you come to church and act like you're going to spend eternity with him. It'd help you get to know him. Now, I'm going to get home here in just a little bit. We'll have lunch, and then I'm going to freshen up and get ready for tonight's message out of 1 Corinthians. And then I'm going to go by my computer, and I'm going to flip it on, and then before I leave, I'll go to Facebook. And I'll have 3, 5, 6 friend requests. And then I have choices to make. So Helen Walden will send me a Facebook friend request. And I look over there and I say, Helen Walden. I can confirm that and say, that'd be my friend. Or I can say, nah, I just reject that one. Or I may just decide to leave it alone and say, not now. The Lord Jesus has sent you a friend request today. What you going to do with it? You going to say later? Some of you have been sitting and rejecting. It's time for you to confirm his request. It's time for you to say, Lord, thank you for loving me. I surrender unto you. Some of you, you're sitting up there. Today's the day. I'm telling you, now is the time.